please welcome Mike Daly.
Thanks very much, Linda, and it's great to be here in Bells Hill. I always think that when somebody gets active in a political party, and I would certainly recommend that if you can, getting active in a political party is a very good thing, and getting active in a trade union is an even better thing as well. But for me, a political party is a means, it's a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. So when I think back to Dundee, where I was born and brought up, in my scheme in Whitfield, and I remember distinctly the decline of my working class community, and it would have been the same for Bells Hill, it would have been the same for many places across Scotland from 1979 onwards with Thatcherism and the policies that ensued. For me, being active in the Labour Party then was the most natural thing to do. The difficulty I think that we've had is when I look at the, for example, the Scottish Labour Party now, as I say, a party that I very much was active in, I look at it and I think this is not the party of Bevan. You know, this is not the party of Clement Attlee. This is not the party that gave us the NHS and the welfare state and incredible things. You know, the party of John Wheatley, Glasgow John Wheatley, who built 1.5 million houses. That was something. To me, that was the Labour Party I joined. And I think, sadly, that is not what we have in Scotland anymore. And I went through a very difficult time grappling with where I was, to then thinking, well, actually, this is not working. I'm not seeing any change, and I don't think we can deliver that change. So for me, I think self-determination is the only way that Scotland can achieve her full potential. And I thought long and hard about that, and that is the conclusion that I've come to. And I think we are going to have a Scottish referendum. I think it's coming quite soon. I think it could be certainly within the next year. And I think if it's the case the Prime Minister, Theresa May, refuses, as she's done, to allow us to have a referendum, it's going to be a constitutional crisis. We have a mandate for that referendum. The Scottish Parliament has already voted. You cannot deny people that choice. And for those people that say, but I thought it was supposed to be once in a generation, well, hang on a second. The complete rules of the game have changed. Everything has changed. We're now in a situation where we're coming out of the European Union. What was originally kind of promised in terms of if you voted no back in 2014 is not the case. It was a prospective. As perspective, I suppose what you can say is false. So when you change all of the rules of a game, it's only fair to play the game again and to do it fairly. So I think it is absolutely essential that we do have a referendum. And for me, there's a prospect of probably having another general election because the way things are going with the cabinet infighting in London, I'm not entirely sure that the UK government's going to retain its stability for that much longer. And I think as we get closer to coming out of the EU, which, let's remember, will be March next year, there's going to be a crunch point where people realise that actually when they voted to leave, I have no difficulty with people when I vote to remain, but for those that voted to leave, those like Tommy, that's perfectly understandable. But I think when you see what you're going to get come next March, it's going to be a completely different thing as to what was promised. And I think in those circumstances, I can see there being the possibility of another general election. And I think there's got to be an opportunity for Scotland to decide that here is a chance for us to do something completely different. I mean, my other huge concern, and one of the other reasons that I've kind of moved from no to yes, is thinking about something like 30 years of my life has been under a Conservative government that I've never voted for, 30 years. And that's been the case for so many people, that we constantly vote for a different future for ourselves and for our children, and we get the complete opposite. And we're never going to break away from that. Now, we've recently had the Growth Commission report that's come out. And I have to say, I think the Growth Commission report is a credible document. I think it's a very interesting document. I think it's a good document. And opposition parties have seized upon that to say, oh, that then means that if you were to have an independent Scotland, you'd have to make some difficult choices. Well, politics is about making difficult choices. Nobody ever said it wasn't about difficult choices. Nobody ever said that there was a magic money tree, which the opposition parties always used to say back in 2014. I think we're in a much better place. We're saying, look, becoming independent doesn't mean that all of your problems disappear overnight. But what it does mean is that you then have the ability to do things completely differently. You then have the ability to use your economic levers, the ability to invest much more in our future generations in terms of education, and effectively the ability to create a different future. That's what you've got, and you're responsible for that. And that excites me. And I think in terms of that Growth Commission report, I not for a second I believe the opposition critics. In fact, there was like some people saying, well, it's the longest political suicide note. You know, no, it's not. It's a very credible document. But here's the other thing. It's a report by a group of people. And it's an opinion. And the future isn't written down in a report. The future isn't written down at all. So let's not be hoodwinked by, on the one hand, if you don't start talking about some of the difficult choices, the critics that are against self-determination will attack you and say, you're not credible. And then on the other hand, when you do say, well, look, actually, for example, to set up our own currency in Scotland, we couldn't just do it tomorrow, because actually it requires a lot of things to be done to get into that place. And you start being very, very serious about the mechanics of it. And then your opponents say, oh, well, that's going to be tough then, isn't it? That's never going to happen. So it's almost like you can't possibly win. So I suppose the point I'm trying to make is that I think we're in a much more stronger position than we were in 2014. I think we're starting from a base point of around about 45, 48%. We didn't start with that base point in the past. I mean, the polls are quite consistent. I mean, around about that. Last time round, we're starting way lower. And if you think about it, if you're then looking at having a campaign over the course of a year with the manifestation of Brexit and all the problems that are coming from Brexit, and the reality of the promises that were made, you know, for all the money to be saved from not being in the EU, and so on and so forth, and when people realise that's basically untrue, I think you're going to be able to persuade a lot of people that voted no in 2014 to vote yes. You're going to persuade people, I think, like myself, who have believed in the possibility of doing wonderful things through Labour. Labour increasingly frustrates me, I have to say, because if you even just look at the EU position, Labour's sitting on the fence. It wants to be all things to all people and do nothing, effectively. And I think one of the problems I have with this idea that the reason that you should vote no in a future referendum in Scotland is because if Jeremy Corbyn becomes Prime Minister, we'll get all these incredibly wonderful things. Well, the reality I think that we've had with Labour is ultimately that Labour has promised the world and delivered a little bit of good and a little bit of bad and some really, really bad things. For example, Social Security cuts. Who introduced the ATOS medical assessments? That was Labour. So Labour constantly talk about how they will be socialist and they'll do these wonderfully progressive things. And when they get into power, they sometimes do some good things, like minimum wage, for example, tax credits, let's be fair, and then they don't do anything else. I'm not convinced that we will ever get the kind of country that I want to see if we stay in the UK. So I think we're at a really exciting time. I mean, just to give sort of one example, if I can finish on this, Linda, how Scotland can be completely different. Just look at all the things that we've done with the limited devolved powers. We've mitigated the bedroom tax. So the bedroom tax, which I find to be the most despicable Victorian type of taxing people for having a bedroom. You're taxed for having a bedroom. Who could have invented such a policy? Especially when the UK government knew that there was never enough small houses in existence for all these people with the extra bedroom to move into. They knew that. If you looked at the impact assessments from the through the legislation, which I did, they knew that there wasn't enough for that to happen. So it's despicable. The Scottish Government mitigated that. They've mitigated so, so many bad things. And one of the things that I've been incredibly involved in is trying to end rough sleeping and homelessness in Scotland, which has risen over the last few years, and it's a product of the austerity from the UK government. Benefit sanctions. People not having enough to live on to eat. So, the Scottish government have now made a commitment to do everything that they can possibly to do to end rough sleeping and to end homelessness. And we're going to have a debate in the Scottish Parliament, I think on the 27th of June, where the Housing Minister will respond to the suggestions that have come forward from an action group that I'm a member of as well. Now, I just give you that as one small example. You know, the ability for Scotland to say, let's not have people be homeless anymore. Just imagine if we had the powers to make that kind of choice in all these different areas of life. It would be incredible. So that's the kind of country that I want to live in. I'm absolutely delighted that you've invited me to speak to you. And I have to say, I think we are at a really exciting time. The newspapers talk about there's not going to be another referendum. Don't believe it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen reasonably soon. And I think, final point is this. There is such a great infrastructure of people like yourselves up and down Scotland, and I've been around the country speaking to various people and groups, and they've continued from the last referendum and actually honed their skills, built their networks, got much more sharper in terms of strategy, tactics, social media. I mean, look, you know, I mean, I think we're in a way better position than in 2014. And I have to say, I'm absolutely excited and I can't wait till we get stuck in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike.